Welcome to Not a Novice, a time of refreshing and upliftment through the unfailing word of God with Bishop Victor Collins of Sabre. Bishop Collins is the Bishop of the Good Shepherd Church, a dynamic church located in Canal No. 2 Polder, West Bank Demerara, with branches all over Guyana. Now, here is the message.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to Not a novice church Tuesdays at this beautiful time here. Wherever you are, technology is beautiful, so you don't have to come to Canal No. 2 Polder where I am based. Right there in your living room, right there in your car, you can listen to preaching, Not a Novice. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful privilege. Speak to our hearts like never before, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. What it means to be wise as serpents. What it means to be wise as serpents. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, the Bible says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. You have to know that whilst we are here serving the Lord, believing God, walking with the Lord, flowing with the Lord, that we are doing that in the midst of what the Bible calls wolves. The environment is hostile. The atmosphere is hostile. The atmosphere is not conducive for the type of things that God wants to happen in our environment. And so the Bible says that the environment that we function in is an environment of wolves. And if you've grown a little bit, you understand what I'm saying. And so Jesus says that in that same environment, you have to be therefore wise. Somebody say wise. You have to be wise as serpents and then harmless as doves. So we are focusing on wise as serpents. Our focus is on wise as serpents. And we are saying that the serpent is wise. And so an anatomy of the serpent is what we are actually following. Now, this afternoon, I think last week we looked at masters at giving themselves wholly, isn't it? We've looked at the masters of maneuvers, masters of what? Overcoming handicaps. I mean, a few things I have taught you about. But this afternoon, we're looking at masters of survival. Serpents as masters of survival. Have you survived? Can you survive? Are you a survivor? Are you somebody who has been through situations and you have survived? That's a very important question to answer yourself. Isn't it? Because if you are going to be wise as a serpent, you will need to be somebody who survives. Snakes are not liked. How many of you like snakes? Z, you like snake? You like snake? You like to eat snake? You like to fellowship with snakes? And when you wake up in the morning, you go into the bush, or you go to the at the back of your house, you have snakes. And you say, "Good morning, snake. How are you doing today? What's your plan today? Are you going to work today or not?" I mean, we don't like snakes. That's why sometimes some people who keep snakes as pets. I think there's a guy in Georgetown who has something similar. I don't know whether he's still around. But living in Georgetown, I used to notice him. He has this big thing around his neck. And he walks around. And you see, when people pass him, they don't notice that it's a snake. Until when people are approaching him, they don't notice it's a snake. Until they pass him, then they say, "What?" They look back and wonder, "Is this guy all right? Is this guy okay? How can he have a snake around his neck?" Snakes are not liked by black people. Snakes are not liked by white people. Snakes are not liked by whatever people of easting from the eastern side, where snakes are not liked by people from all over. I mean, there are people who do biology, experts in biology, and you know they study them and all of that, and they don't kill them. But majority of people who are alive, what they do is that they make sure that when they see a snake, the snake must die. In a certain sense, that is how the environment wants you to be. The environment, the system, whatever it is, wherever you are, the world is full of trouble. The world is full of challenges. I mean, if you don't take care and you don't really take this instruction or this advice from Jesus, you will become extinct. You will not live anymore. You will not be around anymore. After 1 year, you will not be around. After 2 years, you disappear. After 6 years, you say you unable no more. Snakes have survived. Where? Snakes have survived in the city. Snakes have survived in the village. You will find a snake in the city. Oh yes. I think some time ago was some videos on YouTube. I saw a snake in somebody's washroom, somebody's toilet, the water tank part of the toilet. There's a snake that was living in the water tank. So as the tank is filled with water and then they flush the toilet day after day, week after week, month after month, the snake is lying down inside the water tank. Until one day, the flushing wasn't happening. So they brought a plumber to come and help them fix the problem. Lo and behold, as they removed the cover of the water tank, come and see who is lying down comfortably in the water tank. Mr. Snake. You see, and of course, the moment he's discovered, he loses his life, he loses his wife, he loses his children, everything. He loses everything that he owns in this world. Snakes are not liked in the city. In the village, snakes have survived. On trees, in cold temperatures, in hot temperatures, in places that you don't expect them to be there. In water, in the desert, snakes are there and they have survived. The desert snake really, here, he buries himself in the sand. And he's there. And it's a hot sandal. A sand that you can actually barbecue chicken inside. Or you can put egg inside and then you can do a scrambled egg inside. They are everywhere. So the question or the challenge Jesus wants to challenge us from Matthew 10, 16 is, can you and I survive? Can you survive in a cold temperature? Can you survive in a hot temperature? Can you survive in water? Do you know how to swim? My father in the ministry always talks about it, that swimming is something that everybody should know. You should know how to swim. Because sometimes you may be traveling on water, or let's say you may be in a plane, and then the plane, God forbid, comes down in the sea. Most planes that do long distance flying, they go over water. Atlantic, Pacific, Indian Ocean, Caribbean Sea, is almost always over water. It means that in the case of emergency, it's coming down in the water. Now they talk about life vests and all of that, but Charlie, you have to be able to do some butterfly strokes. You have to be able to do some frogs kind of swimming, so that at least you keep adrift and afloat in the cold water, maybe the middle of the night, before help comes. And so you must be somebody who survives. Hey, what have you been through? Have you gone through divorce and you are still around? Have you lost children and you're still around? Have you lost your job and you are still around? Have you lost family and you are still around? Have you migrated and you are still serving God? Have you prospered and you are still serving God? Have you not prospered yet and you still love God and you still praise Him? What have you survived? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12 that I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Maybe we can look at another version of the Bible. The Bible in basic English, if you have that. That's also very nice. Translation. You get it? The Bible in basic English. What does it say? Bible in basic English, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12. It says that, so then, my loved ones, as you have at all times done what I say, not only when I'm present, but now much more when I am with you, give yourself to working out your salvation. Hey, Philippians chapter, it's 4 verse 12, isn't it? Yeah, why am I reading 2 verse 12? I hope I'll get extra time for this. I'm campaigning for extra time. He says that it is the same to me if I'm looked down on or honored. Everywhere and in all things, I have the secret of how to be full and how to go without food, how to have wealth and how to be in need. I am able to do all things through him who gives me strength. I am able. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. It's like if I have something, it's okay. If I have food, I'm fine. If I don't have food, I'm also fine. There are some people, they are only fine when they have food. When there's no food, you can't make them do nothing. You can't get them up to do nothing. They will sit down, they will prop sorrow, they will cry, they will do all kinds of things. But Apostle is saying here that he knows how to abase and how to abound. Everywhere. Can you survive everywhere? I mean, we have our church on the West Bank, in Canal number 2, Polda. Beautiful place. Many people can come from town. The first thing they will say is, the bridge. If we didn't have a bridge, they will say, there's no bridge. They say, there's traffic. If there's no traffic, they say, oh, it's far. You'd be surprised how people cannot survive. I'm telling you. And we live in town, and we travel to Canal number 2, Polda, almost every day we are there. Doing something pertaining to church. Office work, construction, meetings, services. The bridge is our friend. The bridge has become our friend. Even if the bridge is closed, we are okay. Because when your friend is not happy with you, it's okay. It's still your friend. Hallelujah. Everywhere. Can you survive everywhere? Can you function everywhere? Every time? All night prayer. Can you pray all night? When you go all night, you sleep. I know how to abase and abound. And everywhere, the Bible says, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Can you do that? Is there something you can do? So let's look at somebody like Joseph. Joseph, a gentleman called Joseph in the Bible. You know, Joseph was loved by his father dearly. In Genesis chapter 39, the Bible says that, you know, Joseph went around. You know the story of Joseph, isn't it? Did you go to Sunday school? Hey, why didn't you go to Sunday school? You have to go to Sunday school from now, okay? Right. So Joseph, you know the story of Joseph? He was sold by his brothers. Joseph had, 11 brothers, because he was the 12th. Okay, so his father loved him. His father bought him a nice coat. Joseph used to dream, used to have visions, used to have all kinds of things, and his father loved him. and his brothers didn't like him. So a time came where one day his brothers were out there in the fields taking care of their father's sheep. And then his father told him to take some food and go and give it to his brothers. The Bible says that he took the food to his brothers. When they saw him coming, they said, look at the guy who's coming. He's not our brother. He's a dreamer. The guy who always says that God has something special for him. The guy who always thinks that he's more better than everybody. The guy who thinks that he's preferred. The guy who our father has bought a coat for, and he has never bought a coat for us. So the Bible says that they planned to deal with him. Can you believe it? That your brothers and your sisters plan to deal with you. That they don't like you. They don't want to get rid of you. They will put some poison in your food. Can you imagine that your brother is somebody alive who doesn't want you around, who doesn't need you around? They when they see you, they get vexed, they get angry, they wish you were dead. Joseph was like that. The Bible says that the people they took him on and they wanted to kill him. But one of his brothers, it was Reuben. The first one said, you know what? No, let's not kill him. Let's put him in a pit. Let's leave him there. You know, maybe some lion will jump in there and the lion will kill him. And so it's not us. It won't be us who killed him. So they bought into the idea. The Bible says they took his coat that his father had given him. They killed an animal. They put the blood in the coat. They took the coat to their father and told their father that Joseph is dead. Some lion, some tiger. And they sure met him on the way to canal number two. And then he eat him up. Now, they sold him to merchants in Egypt after that, isn't it? And then he went into Potiphar's house. Now, somebody who was loved by his father, who was he was the apple of his father's eye, his father bought a coat for him. He was sold as a slave into Egypt. I mean, if it was me, there's something in I was born in Ghana, and there's something that we there's a word we use in Ghana when your father is a rich man. We call you Dadaba. Dadaba. Dada is another word for daddy. All right? And then ba, which is Dadaba, is daddy's boy. JP, are you daddy's boy? The one says it's mommy's boy or mommy's girl. What does it tell you? Some favorite who is spoiled, always crying, always being given money, always getting fancy shoes, always being taken somewhere for chicken and all that. Like, you are mommy's boy or you are daddy's boy. There's a saying like that. So Joseph was like a daddy's boy. I remember when I went to Europe at the age of 21, I migrated to Europe to continue my studies. And my first job, you know, I've only worked in a school through my national service. I was a teacher, so that was the only thing I did. And that was nice. I mean, you live with your parents, you go and teach, you come back, you get a little stipend. You know, you're a big man in town. They get it. Nice job. Had friends. So when I migrated to Europe, then I had to go and work. My sister got me a job. And that job was washing dishes. Washing wares. Hey! Charlie! When I went to the workplace and they showed me what I was supposed to do, and then my sister said, brother, okay, later. It was a hospital. Their dishwashers were down. And they needed a human being instead of a machine to come and wash. A manual dishwashing man. And so they called a job agency who called me and asked me whether I'm interested in 2 hours every evening, Monday to Friday, to wash dishes at this nice hospital. In fact, I didn't know it was dishes. It's my sister who linked me up. So I went to the hospital, went to work. Then they took me to the kitchen area in the ward. And they said, this is it, dishes. When you finish here, you go here. When you finish here. When I started washing the wares, From nowhere, I saw tears coming down my cheek. I said, hey, is this me? Some nice boy with my father living a nice, beautiful life. Now, I say I want to go to Europe and go to school and prosper. Look at where life and circumstances has brought me. Hey! And as I was washing the dishes and tears were falling down my cheeks, from there, my sister appeared. She came to check on me. When she came, she saw my tears. She said, hey, brother, wipe your face now. You think we're joking over here? When you're there in Ghana and then we're there here, use Calvary and say, you want a raise, you want a raise, you want a raise? Come and work for your own race. You know, but I survived. I survived. In fact, I got to a point, I used to like washing the dishes. Because at the end of the month, I get money. And so I don't think about the dishes. I think about the money that I'm getting at the end of the month. Are you with me? Then from there, I did other jobs. I worked in factories. I did all kinds of things. Cleaning, all kinds of things we did. And then the point came that I was favored and I sat in the office. The first day I sat in an office with white people. I did the sign of the cross. I said, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Is it me cleaning toilets and washing wares who has now come to sit in an office? I survived. I grew up. I became a manager. I was now running the lives of white people. I survived. In all things. In all things and everywhere. I have learned. So Joseph had a similar thing. He was taken into Potiphar's house as a house boy. Can you imagine you are daddy's boy? I mean, daddy has bought a Lamborghini for you. Lamborghini Countach. You know Lamborghini Countach? Hey, you should go to Italy, man. Yeah. It's a car that the mafia guys use. It goes as fast as an aeroplane. Yeah. All they do their things and then the police is chasing them. Ah. You know, in Holland, the police, they ride CBRs. The police have CBRs. Yeah. Because there are some people, you have to have a faster mechanism to go after them. Because the fast cars are available. So if somebody does something wrong and they use a fast car, and you are using a CJ, they call it CJ, or a scrambler. Yeah. By the time you see them, they are very far. You are at the Harbour Bridge and they are in London. I tell you. Okay, so the police in Holland, they write CBR. Brum, 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 brum. You see a police officer in the CBR, you'll be excited. You want to be a police officer. You see a police officer driving a Porsche. Or some say Porsche. A little flat racing one. Hey! On the highway, when they stop you, you can't run. Because they equally have machines that can run after you also. Hallelujah. So you can imagine a daddy's boy, daddy's girl, mommy's boy, mommy's girl, who has transitioned from an environment of abundance. You are spoiled. And you have now become a houseboy in another country in somebody else's house. Somebody who, when your mother says, come go and wash the wares, you don't want to wash the wares. Someone when they say, your mother says, take the broom and sweep, you don't want to sweep. Now, you don't have a choice. When you wake up in the morning, sweeping is your job. Cleaning the place is your job. Everything is your job. I mean, can you survive? Can you survive in another country? I wasn't born here. I wasn't born in Guyana. But I live in Guyana. I'm doing ministry. Can you also survive? Can you be somewhere in another country and be doing ministry and be preaching? You don't know anybody, but you have a church. You're preaching. You're teaching. You're mobilizing. You're leading. You're guiding. Can you survive? Or maybe it's because it's a new environment. When you get there, you finish. Many people transition to different environments and they don't become anything. There are people who have moved to different countries. They become drug addicts. They become homeless. They become thieves. I know of a classmate who migrated to a developed country. At the end of the day, he was a wanted guy. He had to run back to Ghana because he became a scamp.
He became somebody who used to deal in some illegal some things. And this was some nice guy, you know, in his own country, doing well, flourishing, doing business. Now, when he transitioned to another environment, he became a scamp. Scamping people. The police were after him, so he had to run away. I mean, can you imagine? When you transition to another environment, you become a thief. You transition to another environment, you become a con man. You transition to another environment, and then you say that, you know what? You don't believe that you are who you are as you were born. You are somebody else. Can you survive that you are a Christian? You believe in God. You go to church every Sunday. You pray. You lead Bible studies. You throw your tithes. You give offerings. And then when you transition to another environment, you don't go to church at all. There are many people like that. They say, oh, it's my job. It's your job. You have changed. You couldn't survive. Do you think that if the snake moves from the forest area to the river and he lives in the river, he will die and say that, I can't survive in this river? They will live there. They will eat there. And if you dare go into the river to try and try it, they will bite you and you will rather die. Masters of survival. Are you with me? So you have to learn to survive. You have to learn to survive amidst circumstances. And then he was taken from the Potiphar's wife, accused him of sexual harassment, and they put him further from a houseboy, they put him in jail. When he really didn't do the thing, you know. I mean, there are some things, if you do them, then they say that you go to jail. You go very nicely. But if you didn't do them, and then they say you should go to jail, it's a very sad, interesting phenomenon that many people can be depressed about. That they can't function any longer. Are you with me? And so from his father's house, daddy's boy, nice coat, nice boots, Nike boots, Air Jordan, Air Samaria, Air Israel, Air Iraq, Air all these things. And then now you become a houseboy. And then not only are you a houseboy, then you now become a prisoner in jail. I mean, will you not commit suicide? There's a gentleman called, I think it was, I don't know whether it's okay to mention this, but there's this American guy, a rich man, who was arrested for was for sex trade with girls. Yes, he has an, I don't know whether I can, you know. So he had an island and all of that. I mean, I think a few names were called up, including a high royal family member from England was connected with him. And when he was arrested, he was put in jail and all of that. He died in jail. Because a rich man, very known, very influential, he was arrested for little girls. Father, thank you that we'll survive every circumstance in our life in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to give your life to Jesus? Pray this short prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart that Jesus died for me and I receive him to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul in Jesus' name. Amen. Offering time, 6147909 is our MMG number. Give your offering. Father, thank you for everyone who is giving an offering today. Bless them. Prosper them in everything they do. In Jesus' name. Amen. The MMG number is 6147909. So until next week, we come your way again with another novice. May you be blessed. May you be highly favored. May you survive. May you be called a survivor. May you survive hard times. May you survive hard things. May you be able to handle soft things. And may the Lord be the strength of your life. God bless you.
We hope you have been blessed by this message. For more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call 592-691-5301 or 592-628-2227. Or email us on notanoviceservice@gmail.com. God richly bless your day.